you from the stash, where reality and podcast collide within the music industry, with your host, James Davis McAllister.
Welcome back to another From the Stash podcast, and I'm your host, James Davis McAllister, back with you with another one. My apologies for being absent, not being around, and not posting anything. I know after the Jeffrey Nothing episode, there was a lot of buildup, yada, yada, yada. We won't get into it. I have been, you know, if anybody listens to the show, they know my crazy ass. I'm fucking mentally fucked. So for a lack of a better term, I'm back. I'm trying to do it. And today I have a very special guest, my drummer, my brother, my friend, and even somewhat of a mentor. I guess you would say a safety blanket of sorts for myself. My boy, Brennan Gerber, Gerber baby. Thanks for joining the show. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me on here today. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun to do this with you. I'm excited. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've been talking about this, and here we are. We're doing it. And people know, my podcast is very raw, uncut, and unprofessional in an aspect. And, we're sitting in my daughter's room right now recording this. So there you go. And you're going to hear if you hear the birds chirping, I got the windows open. And if you hear trains going by, hey, that's what the fuck it is. I live by train tracks. I don't know what to say. I'm not going to put a bunch of foam carts on my walls, but we're not going to talk about me today. We're going to talk about Mr. Gerber. So my first and foremost question is, why and how did you get started drumming?
Oh, wow. Well, this kind of dates back to when I was a baby. Ever since I was very, very little, my dad was noticing that I'd be beating on shit around the house. I'd be taking like one of my mom's kitchen pans and I'd be beating on it, and I'd just be kind of beating around like everything. And my dad's like, oh, he's going to grow up to be a drummer. And my mom, being a very classically trained string player, and French horn, but mostly strings at the time.
Shout out, Mom.
She was very, oh no, he's going to be a string player. He's going to grow up around brass instruments and strings. He's going to play trumpet and trombone and everything, which I did actually play trombone for a little while, but we'll get into more of that later. But so long story short, my dad realized, yeah, he needs to get a drum set. And flash forward a couple years, I was in, I want to say, third or fourth grade, when I decided, hey, I want to play drums. My parents found me a very rundown, shitty drum set at the Hartville flea market. And so they bought it. It was a bad price, and they brought it home. And that's kind of how I first started on drums.
So with that said, okay, so you got this shitty drum set. What was the first bands or acts that you tried to emulate or covered per se, or were you just all over the place at first?
Some of both. When I very, very first got the kit, I figured out how to get it set up somehow on my own. I managed to figure it out. I got it set up, and I just kind of sat down and started beating on it, not really knowing what the fuck to do at first. And I was like, all right, hit this. Okay, hit the snare drum. It goes kind of sound. Hit the toms. It makes a thud. Hit the cymbals. It sounds like crash and whatnot. And so I kind of like first learned trying to figure out the different sounds of the kit. And starting off, I wasn't really playing to any music. I was just kind of just playing what I thought sounded right. Little did I know, it did not sound right at all. And then I started getting into some of the bands that my dad had been listening to, like Guns N' Roses, Iron Maiden, Guns N' Roses especially. Guns N' Roses was probably the very first band I ever played drums to, but obviously first starting, I was sounding horrible.
Yeah.
And Stephen Adler, the drummer for Guns N' Roses at the time, was kind of like my very first inspiration to say, like, yeah, I want to do this the rest of my life. Now, looking back at it, I have tons of more inspirations as well now, which I'll get into later.
Yeah.
Unless you want me to right now.
No, I was going to say, as you grow, not to interrupt, but as you grow, which people know, and I'm working on it, audience, as you grow as a drummer or any type of musician, you get different influences as time goes on. And I guess I could have simplified my question and asked, who was the first drummer or band or song that, you know, you covered, is what I was kind of trying to get at. So it was Guns N' Roses, huh?
Yeah.
Mr. Adler.
Guns N' Roses, Stephen Adler was kind of how it all started.
So who, like, as you progress through time, I mean, yeah, go ahead, go through your progression of inspirations, you know, if you can, you know, maybe, you know, tweens into mid teens into, you know, people may not know, you know, y'all know I'm an old fuck. I'm almost 35. I mean, this young man's 22 years old. So, you know, this won't be a long timeline, but yeah, go through your timeline.
Yeah. Starting off, I was into a lot of like the classic rock music. I was listening to bands like Led Zeppelin, like I mentioned, Guns N' Roses, Iron Maiden, a little bit of The Who here and there, a lot of the Beatles. So all those drummers like Ringo, Steven from Guns. Can't remember the drummer from Iron Maiden.
Unfortunately, you know, people might spear me for, I don't know either.
I can't think of it at the moment.
Sorry, Brooke, if you're listening.
I know it'll come to me. Buddy Rich, Ringo Starr. Some of those kind of guys from like the jazz era, and then a few of the metal drummers.
Not to interrupt you again, Phil Collins?
Any yes, Phil Collins in there? Phil Collins.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Big one for me. Genesis, all of that kind of music.
So where'd you go after that? After the classic rock, where'd you go?
After that, I kind of veered into, because out of all those bands, I was enjoying Guns N' Roses the most because they had that heavy angst sound. So it was like, ooh, I like this hard rock, grrr, party. I got into a lot of metal bands, so I was listening to Avenged Sevenfold, Asking Alexandria, Old As I Lay Dying.
How old, may I ask, like when you started to get into that? Next level metal, not to knock Guns N' Roses, I don't mean next level. What I mean by next level is new generation metal, like your As I Lay Dying's, your, you know, Avenged and any of things.
I want to say maybe 9 or 10, maybe 12.
Jesus, I'm old.
Oh, God.
Somewhere around there. Oh, and I completely forgot to mention Joey Jordison of Slipknot. It's probably one of my huge
inspirations
out there. I know he's a major inspiration to a lot of the metal drummers in the metal music community. He really paved the way for tons of drummers. I mean, there's not a single drummer you will talk to who won't mention Joey Jordison.
People well know me by now. I'm not a Slipknot fan, hence from a lot of my Mushroomhead interviews with them. It's, hey, listen, man, I just think they're, you know, the Backstreet Boys of metal. Now, however, and that was not, listen, that was said by Mushroomhead's guitarist Gravy, and that's what gave me that idea. They are literally the Backstreet Boys of metal, meaning they were manufactured and made into being what they are. They weren't an original band. Now,
I can agree with that.
Without getting into that, I'll say this about, you know, Slipknot. Joey Jordison, I hear that a lot from drummers. You know, and I think that what it was with him, not to get on a tangent, but what it was with him was he was just a lot different. I mean, there was, you know, the way he played was not your traditional Slayer, Pantera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, Slipknot was a lot heavier. Mm-hmm. However, I mean, you would hear jazz fills, you would hear blues fills, you would hear metal fills, you'd hear pop fills, you'd hear, you know, rock fills. You would hear everything in his music. And if you don't believe me, go listen back, especially to the first album of Slipknot. I mean, this guy was all over the place with his drums.
And honestly, I think that's what made him such an inspiration, because he didn't only play like his band's genre of music, like the heavy new metal thrash. He intricated so many different styles of drumming into heavy metal drumming. He didn't just do like a 16th note roll around the fills during a chorus. He wouldn't just do. He'd do something a little bit more intricate, something that you wouldn't normally hear.
Yeah, add a cymbal in here, there, or an extra kick drum.
And like you mentioned,
drum.
He'd do like maybe a jazz fill in a song.
Yeah, you hear bands, and I'd be interested, and God forbid, and bless me if I ever did, you know, get a drummer like Ocean State Alaska to interview him.
Oh, Chris Turner.
You know, Chris Turner, there you go. You would think of, you know, I guarantee if you talked to him and asked him, Joey Jordison was either a slight influence or he's a fan of.
No, he definitely has.
I've yet to hear a drummer say anything negative about Joey. And me, in my own opinion, again, I think he was the bright star in that band.
Yes.
And so after like this thrash phase at 10-ish, you know, this, you know, Avenged Sevenfold per se phase, where did you go to next? Or did you stay in that lane?
I stayed in that lane for a little while. And like you mentioned with Pantera, Pantera was another band I used to listen to a lot. I don't listen to them as much anymore. I need to get back into them.
I have to be dead. No, I'll shut up.
No, no, you're
fine. I'll shut up. No, people know I don't like, you know.
Brandon. Yeah, I know.
I've gotten shit
for it. You've
got
your own opinion on
Pantera. I respect, hey, for the record, I respect Pantera, but let me tell you, I just don't like Pantera, all right? For multiple reasons.
Yeah. Hey, everyone has their own opinion. Yeah. I started getting into like some more like deathcore bands. I was listening to some Whitechapel, Parkway Drive.
So what age? 13, 14-ish, right?
Yeah,
here?
Probably.
Yeah, that sounds like, yeah, Whitechapel prime. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I got into like some of the melodic metalcore bands, like, I don't know, like I mentioned, Parkway Drive.
Between the Buried and Me?
Between the Buried and Me, yes. Killswitch Engage.
Asking Alexandria would have been that time.
Yes, Asking Alexandria.
Yeah.
There were so many. I mean,
right. It's hard. Luke Collin with the Word Alive.
Yeah, Word Alive.
Yeah.
I don't know.
As Lay Dying. What's that drummer's name?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think of what his name
is. Oh, I'm so.
Only member I know is
terrible.
Tim
Lynn Bassist. Right. I'm trying to think of their drummer. God damn it. Their drummer is so damn good.
He really is.
He's saw him live.
One of my favorites.
Fuck. He put on a show I've never seen before. I'm so sorry for the fans out there of As I Lay Dying.
If anyone knows, put the name of As I Lay Dying
drummer
in the comments below, please.
There you go. Yeah, I'm not even going to Google it.
I'm a drummer and I should know this.
We ain't even going to Google it. Oh, okay, maybe I lied and maybe we are going to Google this shit. Let's see here. You know, oh boy, As I Lay Dying. I know Nick Kippa, the lead guitarist, just recently left. As a Dying drummer, it's fucking, I'm going to hate my mustache. Hey, From the Stash, right? You know?
Shout out to From the Stash podcast, James, your host, James Davis from Cal.
Jordan Mancino. That's it. Mr. Mancino. Totally.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and.
Yeah, he's been with a lot of bands.
Right. But none of them have been, you know, bigger.
No,
they were branch offs when Tim had fucked up. During that time, a couple of those, Woven War, I know, is him and Nick Kippa went and did that, and it was like butt rocky, like Breaking Benjamin, yada yada, and it kind of just.
Hey, don't be bashing on Breaking Benjamin.
No, I'm not.
That's another band I really.
Well, what I mean by butt rock is dad rock, right? It's what you hear on the radio, and I just call it butt rock. That's just what I call it. It's what I've always known it as, and we're talking Shinedown, Chevelle's. Breaking Benjamin's, 3 Days Grace, shit like that.
Even,
you know?
Demon Hunter, if
yeah,
I'm being
yeah,
honest.
Okay.
They're a good band, but I'd have to put them in that category.
I haven't listened to them enough, but that's what I mean by butt rock. No, okay, so with Jordan Mancino and stuff, and Jordan Mancino was a little bit heavier with As I Lay Dying,
right.
So did that lead you in a heavier route, or
yes.
Did, you know, because I've noticed now with you, sidebar, with, you know, our band, I'd Rather Die, and shout out to Zach and Andy, you know, who recently just left the band. It, you know, we were, you know, we were like a hybrid of post-hardcore into metalcore.
In
the 80s, right.
Rock. Yes,
so like, is that like, my main question is, coming off of like As Like Dying and stuff like that, is that the type of drumming you fell in love with and like wanted to do, or like are you just all about drumming? It doesn't matter the genre, you know, you just want to play drums, which I know you do. So it's kind of a loaded question. But would you rather? Here we go. Would you rather As Like Dying or Breaking Benjamin?
Oh, that's really hard to answer because I actually really got into Breaking Benjamin at one point, and I was playing a lot of their songs, and I've learned a lot of their songs. I like both genres, honestly. I really do. It's hard to pick one.
Right now, today, if you had to replace either drummer, who would you replace? And now, mind you, they're both at about the same prestige. They're both at about the same popularity. Now, As Like Dying isn't near as commercial.
Right.
However, they're selling out just as well as Breaking Benjamin. So, like, I don't mean selling out music-wise. I mean selling out their shows. So, now, Breaking Benjamin's on a little larger level, but what would you rather, Jordan Mancio, and excuse me, I don't know Breaking Benjamin's drummer's name. What would you rather?
I'm going to have to go with As I Lay Dying, honestly.
Okay. I see that in you. You know, and I see that, you know, again, I'm almost 35, and when I was your age, that's what I was into now. Now, if you ask me that today, like, as a singer, what band I'd rather be in, I'd say Breaking Benjamin.
Okay. And honestly, with your vocal performance and the way you sing, you would be a perfect fit for
that
band.
I appreciate that, and I think now the maturity of my vocals, instead of just screaming and having singing choruses, it would meet more of that Breaking Benjamin. Plus, I'm old, man. I can't scream like that. And shouts out to Tim for being being able to maintain what he's maintained throughout his entire career.
He's getting old too.
Yeah, he's an old man. You know, shit, he's fucking like 38, close to 40, I think. 40. Yeah, you know, and it's an inspiration to see him still going and doing what he does. And hey, everybody knows, if you're listening to my podcast, it's fucking all over the place. There are no scripts here. This shit ain't written. This shit is, you know, click record and let's do it, you know? So my apologies for the tangents. You already know they're going to come. Any fan of this show knows that.
It's more organic that way.
It is more organic. I do my research about my guests. You know, I didn't need to do that about you.
Yeah, you know everything
about me. I booked your first shows, you know, and things like that. I know everything about you. But even, you know, like getting Mushroom Head members and stuff, I have my research ready.
Right.
And I have it beside me, but I don't like to go off a script. I like the conversation to feel like people are right here with us. You know, hitting that doobie, hitting that blunt, getting high as fuck, whatever it may be, cruising in their car, going to work, working. And they're just able to feel like they're here with us. So with that being said, I'm going to shut the fuck up and let the guests talk. Don't yell at me in the comments. I know. Listen, I like to talk. So now your mother has a music background.
Yes, she does.
Do you think that was an influence on you? I know it's vocals.
Right. She was very into vocals, classic string instruments, and French horn. And like I said, she was very pushing for me to go towards that end of the instrument spectrum.
Did you ever
play anything? I did actually for a little bit. When I was in fifth grade, she was actually the elementary music school teacher.
Hey, shout out to your mom. Give her a shout out.
Oh yeah. Shout out to my mother. I absolutely love you. If you're listening to this right now, I apologize for my slightly vulgar speaking, but if you're listening, I love you. I really do, mom. You
raised one hell of a boy. I'll tell you that, mama.
You raised me amazingly. I love you, mom. Shout out to my mother. When I was in fifth grade, I actually played the trombone in the concert band. And I wouldn't say I didn't like it, but I wouldn't say I liked it at the same time. And because I was always, and she can tell you this, during whatever period it was that we had band, I was always watching the kids and behind me.
Percussion.
The percussionist. Yeah. Like, ooh, I want to do that. I want to do that. And mom's like, focus on your parts. And there were times where at the end of rehearsal when we were switching periods, I'd be like, mom, can you put me in the percussion section, please? She's like, no, you're finishing the year on trombone like you started. It's like, but mom, please, I want to play drums.
Let me stop you there. Do you think by her doing that, that kind of helped you, though, in a way, to be able to be more open-minded to maybe instruments or writing?
In a way, yes, I'd say it did. Because for a little while, unfortunately not very long, I did kind of become interested in playing the piano.
My favorite instrument. Sorry about the train. Y'all know.
Choo-choo.
Choo-choo. From the Stash Train Podcast.
Yeah, I'd say she did push me into that a little bit. Because like I said, I did develop a slight interest for playing the piano. However, that didn't last very long. She actually got me a couple of lesson books and tried to sit down with me, and I just wasn't having it. I was too focused on wanting to go upstairs and play my drum set along the Guns N' Roses.
Oh, well, hold on. What age did you get your first drum set again? What age exactly do you think?
I know I was in elementary school.
So we're talking 7, 8, 9, 10?
Yeah, 11-ish. I was either in third or fourth grade,
so
maybe
9, 10-ish, I think, something like that.
Yeah, somewhere around there. I can't even remember.
Honestly. Now, what about pops? Was pops supportive?
Yes, my dad was very supportive. He like I said, he could tell ever since I was a baby that I was really enjoying drums and hitting. Because, like I said, I was always hitting stuff, and he was the one who kept saying he's going to be a drummer.
Yeah,
so he was very supportive of it.
Well, he was right in being that, and I don't say this lightly. I've told you this before, man. I think you're one of the most talented drummers in the scene, and I've been around and met, and at such a young age, you have so much growth ahead of you. I think Daddy's all right, dude. I truly mean that. You're one of the more talented people I've worked with, and one of the more talented drummers I've worked with overall. So I'm glad that you know, your dad saw that in you, you know, and your mama pushed you too through music. I think that, obviously they were an influence, but like, do you think outside of them, say they weren't around, would you still be a drummer? I mean, I know that's radical question to ask, but like, I mean, because of course your home is, you know, what influences you, you know, mm-hmm. So maybe that's a question you can't answer, but
yeah, I don't really know. I'd say theoretically,
Yes.
That if I didn't grow up with my parents, like say I was given away or whatever reason.
Whatever. They weren't your mom wasn't a music teacher, your dad wasn't who he was. Right.
I think I would probably still would have had a good chance, but I don't think I would have taken it as seriously as I take it now, if that makes sense.
Well, dude, I'll say this, man. Like, for all the listeners out there, his drum kit for I'd Rather Die, the previous version, which, spoiler, the newer version, which if you've heard the previous version was much, it was a little bit heavier, you know, on the metalcore side. The newer version, I think, will be a lot lighter, more radio rockish. His set was fucking
huge.
Yeah, and lack for a better, I won't say it. I wanted to say the R word. But I won't say it because, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. I didn't want to say, you know, to offend anybody. I won't say the R word, you know, but it was just stupid. Yeah. The amount of drums this man had. And I'm just like, holy fuck. Now, and he played every single one of them, you know, and, sure and so do you want to speak on that? Like, what was it like to be in a band with us? You know, that style, was that like, cause I know you'd been in metal bands prior, but they were a lot heavier in essence. Right. So what was it like to be in this melodic, very again, shout out to Zach Drake, very melodic metal band. I mean, there's no other way to say it. We weren't alternative, we weren't rock, we were fucking metal. Right. However, they were singing over the, you know, it was your traditional Breaking Benjamin in a vocal asset way.
Breaking Benjamin meets Old Avenged Sevenfold.
Yes, there you go.
That's a very good
perfect
way.
Example.
Like two of our songs sounded much like they could have been off of Avenged Sevenfold's second album.
Yeah, very, very 80s driven and solo driven. And again, shout out to Zach, man.
One of our riffs sounded almost the same as Unholy Confessions.
Yeah, you know,
very similar to it.
And again, it didn't work out with Zach and Andy, and Brennan and I have decided to continue, you know, FYI. But, you know, shout out to them, man, as you know, Zach and Andy for just the you know, the music we wrote together and the style it was. But, you know, so was that the, do you think that this was the most difficult? And what I mean by that difficult is the hardest to adapt to band you've been in.
Honestly, no. I'm going to have to disagree on that one. I mean,
Saying it was, I'm asking, right. Was it?
No, honestly, it wasn't. I mean, it was very fun. And like the playing style that Zach and Andy played was very similar to like a lot of the bands I was listening to and had been playing on my drums for years. So I wouldn't say it was too hard to adapt. It really wasn't. It was a little bit different from what I normally play, but not too much. So I adapted pretty easily. And there were many things that I did learn, new things, new types of grooves to play. Cause we had some songs where like the grooves they were playing, my original drum ideas were not really working out, and I would have to come up with something new and different that I hadn't really done before. So I would say it was fairly adaptable compared to what I've played in the past. I mean, that's pretty much all I have to say about that.
Okay, I'll say this. I know Zach, Andy, and I all being in our 30s, you've always been the young buck. Does that ever bother you, or do you take pride in that?
I take pride, honestly. I really do. Pretty much every band I've ever been in, everyone else has been like 10 years old. Or
some 20.
I would say, 15, yeah.
Dying of the 15, Light. 20. Shout out Dying of the Light, yes, by the way.
Those guys are badass.
Fucking amazing band. Check them out if you haven't checked them out. It's Dying of the Light.
And their new drummer, Matthew, is a fucking killer-ass drummer. Shout out to him. I hope you heal up and get better, man. He recently got some surgery done. I hope that they're able to keep him as their drummer.
Hey, you know, shout out, killer. Shout out, whatever y'all believe in, shout, you know, prayers, thoughts, whatever it may be, you know, give him out to, what's his name?
His name is Matthew Hyundai.
Matthew Hyundai, shout out to you, man. I hope a quick recovery for you, man.
Awesome fucking drummer. And they chose well when they picked him after my departure. So you mentioned Dying of the Light, actually, my last band before I'd Rather Die.
Right.
They are
much heavier.
Yes, they were much heavier. They're probably the heaviest band I've ever been in. And they were a really very different type of heavy band. And that was probably the hardest band I had to adapt to, because not only were they like a heavy thrash metal, they were like thrash metal meets like prog rock. So it was very changing of time signatures, changing of tempos, changing of rhythms, and like the cadence of the song.
Right.
I was like,
and was there a song you would suggest the listeners to go listen to?
Oh gosh.
Because he's right about that. I mean, it's very versatile.
The problem is, I mean, you really can't. You'd have to go. They don't have an album out yet. But if you go to their Facebook, they have a few live videos on there.
Do they have anything recorded on YouTube or anything?
They do not.
They don't, unfortunately.
We did, but we took them down. That was forever ago. Gosh, 2-3 plus years ago.
Well, irregardless, man, go check out Dying in the Light.
Yeah, if you go to their Facebook,
all cool dudes. I'll say from a vocalist standpoint, not to interrupt you. I'll say from a vocalist standpoint, I mean, he's top tier.
They're vocalist.
His ranges, and I mean,
inadequate.
I only wish that, you know, I'm getting old and I don't know how old he is. However, I think we're about the same age, and I'll just say this.
You guys are about the same age.
That dude's still got them fucking violent screams. And that's something, I mean, I have it, you know, but it's just not in me. I don't know that I got the breath that man has. Again, go watch some live videos because their live videos sound fucking damn good. It's not shitty sound quality.
I do have one recommendation. On their Facebook, if you go to their videos, you'll find a live recording of My Skin is a Cage for a Monster That Hates You. Listen to that.
Wow.
And listen to Bedtime Stories of the Criminally Insane. There are two live videos from the Vortex in Akron, Ohio.
Shout out Andrew Ledger, by the way. He's the owner of the Vortex. That's my boy. But we're going to go to an ad break real quick. You know, and I think y'all know what it is, and it's going to be coming up here real soon. And then we'll get back to what's going to be coming up right now. And then we'll get back to the Gerber baby interview. But I want to thank McAlpine Meadery, 100035 Johnsford Road, Beach City, Ohio. Amazing mead. Absolutely. And if you don't know what mead is, it's wine made with honey, not all them added sugars and preservatives and all that yada yada bullshit. This is straight from the venue, straight from the place. And yes, Jeremiah, I'm sorry if you hear this, but you are a venue, my man. You become a venue. You know, he was just a meadery, you know, that had bands play there and stuff, but he's become a staple in the music industry. And I truly think you should all go check him out. And hey, if you go mention James McAlister at the bar, or you get my warm stashable pie mead, hey, maybe he'll give you a discount. You never know. You gotta say. But again, that's 10035 Johnsford Road, McAlpine Meadery. It's in Beach City, Ohio, right outside of the Nichols Bread Factory, not too far from there. Check them out. They're awesome people. And we'll get right back to you from the Stash Podcast. I'm your host, James Davis McAlister. Don't you dare touch that dial, because I might die if you do.
Hey, have you ever listened to your favorite album and thought, why doesn't my band sound this fucking crushing? Or maybe you want to record somewhere that you can be captured at your peak abilities. I'm Brandon, and I run Folsom Audio. Whether you need music taken from the ground up, or you just want to record through analog gear, Folsom Audio is your answer. Specializing in rap, hard rock, metal, as well as vocal production, and with 11 years mixing experience, your music will always sound the way it was meant to. Check us out at FolsomAudio.com.
All right, welcome back to From the Stash Podcast. I'm your host, James Davis McAlister. Again, we're back here, Gerber Baby, and now he wanted to mention something about the meadery.
Yes, I did. James gave his ad entrance about the meadery. Just a couple things I want to say about the place. I've been there several times. I've played there. I've visited just to see other shows. It is probably one of the nicest environments I've ever been to. I really love the people who work there. Shout out to Jeremiah. Shout out to Melly. Shout out to Madison.
I love y'all girls, especially you, Melly. You, my girl. I love you. I hope you're listening to this.
And I just want to say I'm even wearing their shirt right now.
You are. You're actually wearing an Acatha. Shout out Brian Acatha. Yes, you're wearing a Drink More Mead Beach City, shirt. But yeah, you know, and I've said this and I don't mean it lightly. I've been doing this for, you know, almost 20 years, and it is hands down in the top five venues I've ever played.
Definitely.
And I mean that, and, you know, people kind of look at me sideways. It's a small ass place, but
it is. And it's really unfortunate because it's such in a small area.
I like it though, because it's very intimate. It's real. When you come in there, you're at home.
Right.
Like there's no, it's not like one of them places you go into clubs, for instance. Perfect example, and this is no shade towards any of the places I'll mention or may mention, but like the Grog Shop, right?
Right.
Which I love the Grog Shop. Awesome environment, awesome people. However, when you walk in there, you feel this sort of intimidation.
Right.
No matter what, I don't give a fuck who you are listening to this. You all, you hard ass alpha males out there, when you walk into a place like that, your guard is up. Mm-hmm. When you walk into a place that serves alcohol, your guard's up. McAlpine, it's not.
No.
And, you know, that's all they serve is wine, a.k.a. mead. You know, mead, a.k.a. wine, I should say. And, but it's, you know, and people think sideways of it, but I'm telling you right now, you buy a bottle of that for $19.99 at that bar, you're going to be fucking shit faced after drink that definitely. Bottle of mead. 16% mead, highest quality you can get, one of the highest percentages you can get from wine, you know, all FDA approved, all made right in house. So, you know, again,
shout
I know
out that, to Jeremiah.
Yeah. Shout out to Jeremiah Gessinger, you know, my pseudo father, my pseudo brother, my pseudo mentor, just, you know, an overall amazing man that's changed my life in every aspect. Shout out to you, dude. And this is an extended ad, if you want to call it that, but it's not. It's just us being honest about, you know, a sponsor of this show, somebody who makes me want to do this. But I was just speaking to Brandon during the break, and, you know, I had a co-host, if people listen back to the very first episode for one episode. But I would like, you know, to bring on, even if they're not there every episode, another, you know, co-host, somebody to do this with me, not just because I like it, but because it's motivational. I need motivation in my life these days. So I was thinking about bringing Gerber baby Brennan here on as a co-host.
God, stop calling me that, man.
Gerber baby? You don't like it?
I mean, I like it, but I don't. I mean, it's just funny that everyone refers to me as that.
Well, that's because like, I started calling you.
I mean, it's like you go to the store and you see the little jars of baby food with the Gerber baby.
Of course.
Everyone comes up to me. It's like, is this you? Are you the baby?
Like, all right. I won't call you that anymore. I'll just call
you. No, you're fine, man.
I'll just call you baby. Anyway, I was thinking about bringing him on as co-host. Hey, if you think that's a good idea, drop it in the comments below. Either way, I respect your opinions, but I shall, you know, formulate mine on my own. Anyways,
I'd definitely love to be your co-host.
That would be cool as hell.
Yes,
that'd
be definitely cool.
That would be motivating. So, hey, maybe we just, discovered something during that break. But with that said, you know,
I say despite the opinions, do it anyway.
I that's what I said. Yeah, post your opinions below. But irregardless, you know, I would love to have, you know, mm-hmm. And it's funny, Austin, shout out Mr. Mulaney. He's a drummer as well.
Yeah,
so
killer drummer.
Fucking phenomenal drummer, man. You know, with that said, let's talk about, you know, we can talk about life, your, you know, where you're at in life now. Like, do you truly see yourself being becoming successful in music? And I know that since we've, you know, started to work intimately together, I don't know maybe if that's inspired you or influenced you more to pursue, because I have mentors in this industry. I have people that, you know, work for, you know, top tier indie labels, things of that sort that I, you know, am in contact with and talk with and have. And of course, over 20 years of doing this, you're going to. Do you think now at 22, you're grown up enough, you're adult enough, do you truly think, whether it's studio musician, touring musician, or just a band, do you think that this is something plausible that you can make a career out of?
Yes, I do. Well, I mean, I should take that back. Yes and no. Yes, because music and drumming is definitely my greatest passion. I mean, yes, I have other hobbies, but music and drumming is definitely my biggest passion out there. And I've wanted to make something of it ever since I started drumming, well, professional drumming per se. It's something I've always wanted to do. And you mentioned being a studio drummer. There's plenty of drummers that have inspired me to get into that. There's several drummers that have inspired me to want to be a live touring drummer.
Well, Luke Holland, I mean, he's the all-arounder, you know?
Luke Holland, I mean, shout out to him, Luke.
Yeah, shit, well, hope you
listen. Another one of my really big inspirations in the drumming world is Luke Holland.
And you talk about him a lot. That's
The work that he does makes me, I wouldn't say wish, makes me want to motivate myself more and more to get out there, because if I can get out there enough with my career, hell, I could be the next Luke Holland. I don't mean to say that in a boasting manner or anything.
No. I know what you mean. You mean it in a way that you could, you know, do what he does. And you're not even saying on his level, but
the only problem, the problem is, we live here in Northeastern Ohio, and you don't see a whole lot of that happening in this area.
Hey, I'll stop you right there, and I'll say this, and people know me. I've said it a million times before, and I've booked tours for both metal, rock, rap, whatever. Ohio is hands down the best music scene in the world. I'm talking the world. And, you know, the only better may be Europe. There may be Western Europe. Western, like United Kingdom, those areas, that might be better than Ohio. Ohio is, you can literally tour Ohio almost year long and still get good crowds and still have a decent market. Mm-hmm. So don't.
I mean,
I know we're in Podunk, Hartville, right?
I'm from Hartville, Ohio.
That's what, an hour from Cleveland? Not even?
About, yeah.
You're right. So Cleveland's right there, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, dude, it's within your grasp, and I think it's realistic. However, it's something you also need to be realistic about, that, you know, it's like a NBA player, right? Mm-hmm. Or a football player. It's one in a million, right?
Right.
You know, exactly. and I think a lot of these musicians, I want to make this a living, and I always approach them because it's on hiatus, but I ran a management artist development company, Hard Haven Entertainment. And I always told my artists, listen, you know, someone like Brennan who drums, I'd say to them, well, you got to be realistic about it. You know, the chances of you doing this truly as a living are one in a million. However, if you take the approach of, like you said, and this is something else that people forget, which you were ahead of the curve of, drum covers, YouTube channels. You have to think of other ways of revenue when you're a musician. Well, how can I do this? Hey, if you're hot as hell and you're, especially if you're a chick, start an OnlyFans. You know,
I'll start an OnlyFans. Right.
Hey, you never know. What I mean, you know, find multiple avenues of revenue. So I think it's possible for you. I think you're talented enough. You're classically trained. You're well-mannered. I think that the route you should try to take, and I think a lot of musicians should try to take, a studio musician. There are places looking. I mean, you just went Monday, right? For
yes.
a session that
yes,
they
yes.
needed a drummer. You know, so, I mean, dude, drummers are fucking far and few between these days, dude. Mm-hmm. So keep that dream alive. Don't let anybody, you know, put that fire out, because you are at an age now, man, where it's, you know, make or break in a sense. Okay. You got about 3 years left I think it becomes something that you really gotta, you know, kind of put on the back. And maybe I'm wrong, you know, because there are musicians that come out when they're 30 and shit like that, but that comes down to commercialism and
who
you know. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And that's why I'm hoping that I can help you with the small connects that I have, you know, get you to that next level, because, you know, I enjoy just, you know, and no, you know, don't take this the wrong way, my LGBTQ plus, you know, listeners, I know there's a lot out there. No homo, you know, like I love you and I want to see you get further than what I did, right? Because I was right fucking there, man, right there, and I fucked it up, you know, because of drugs, stupid shit, you know. But you have your head together and way better than I did, man. And I think that if we do the right things and take the right routes, that it's definitely a reasonable career for you.
Right. And I was going to comment on that. I'd say it's definitely a mindset that you got to have. You can't just wish that you want this and not do anything. You have to be in the right mindset. You have to be motivated. Like, if you're not motivated, it's not going to happen. You have to be in the right mindset. You have to have some drive. You need to have a plan, because without all that, you're not going to get anywhere with any type of career in your life. It could be anything.
You know, right. That
doesn't have to be music.
Right.
You
that attributes to everything in your life.
It's got, like, you have to keep that right mindset, positivity,
you know,
in your life. And you need to have people in your life with you who are the same as you, who are going to lift you up and not be with people who are going to bring you down. You got to have that right mindset.
Theoretically, I could be your dad. On paper. And it's like, I don't look at you like a son by no means, but I do look at you, not even in a mentor aspect, man, but in a way of being like, hey dude, I did that. Don't do that. You know, I don't take this path, and, you know, trust these people, et cetera. Do you think that, you know, you're surrounding yourself with the right people, or are you, you know, like, shit, man, you know, this is still a fucking scramble to find people?
I'd say it's a part of both responses. I'd say 90% of the people in my life, my family for one, my close family, my mother, my father, James, my Thanks. Closest friends. Shout out to my bros, Connor, Grant, and Kyle. And
you
Matthew.
Better listen to this.
You guys
all three.
Better be
Connor,
listening to
Grant, Matthew, and Connor Kyle. And Kyle. Connor. Yes. Matthew, Grant, and Kyle, you better listen to this. I did it in a different order than he did, but you better listen to this.
Yes,
goddamn
you guys better be listening to
this. Okay, sorry.
And send it to all your friends too.
Yes.
Anyway, I'd say 90% of the people in my life are the ones who really push me and motivate me and keep me in that positive mindset. There are a few people that I'll admit I do need to cut off that I'll admit I am trying to. It's just, it's hard. I mean, I'm like you, James. I'm way too good of a person. That's the one downside of me is I have a really hard time of letting the people go. Saying no to people, letting shit go, getting rid of that toxicity in my life. And I'll admit I'm just too much of a nice person to let that shit go.
I'm trying to help you with that, man, because, you know, even to this day, I still am a nice person, but I've learned having a daughter made me really tough skinned. And sometimes, man,
maybe I need to get a daughter.
I ain't saying that, man, because I'll say this right now, man, shit, your whole career path and all that shit might change. You know, I would not suggest having a kid. I would suggest, however, if you're questioning those people, then get rid of them. Gone. Don't even. It is what it is. You cut them off. Let it bleed. Let it hurt. You know. Deal with that. You know. Put that into music.
When
that
day comes, it is definitely going to hurt. Like I said, there's right now. I can think of two people I need to.
I
think you do. Know
you know. One. I think that you know. Well, and then listen, to not be secretive. You know, women have a lot of determining factors over how your careers go and how things happen. And I don't mean that in a misogynist way. I mean that in a wholehearted, I respect women 100%. You know, like I said, I love my fiance, love my daughter, love my mother. I'm a mama's boy. However, when you get in a relationship or you start fucking with somebody or whatever, you know, they can take you away from where your head is. And I don't mean the one in your pants. I mean the one on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. So like, it happened to me, you know, I mean, back to your cousin even, you know, and not to bring that up, but to bring that up, she was a big factor in one of the bands that I had left because of things that were happening between her and I. And it was no fault of hers or no fault of mine. We were young kids being stupid, right? So she was a factor in a couple bands, actually, that had, you know, faltered and thought to me or how I was really as a person. And it wasn't, I mean, back to Oceans, my ex-girlfriend, not the one before, my ex-girlfriend, I mean, it was, you know, it completely took me off of, and the reason we're talking about women right now, as he said, talking about having a kid, you know, maybe you should have a kid like me, because that's what made me tough skin. But my, you know, my ex ultimately was the reason that my last band, Oceans, had broken up the first time. So I wouldn't suggest having a kid. Wrap that shit before you tap that shit, or make sure she's fucking popping them pills, man. Because seriously, a kid is a life-changing, you know, I'll put it to you this way. I was basically a full-time musician and I worked too. So part-time musician, I guess you could say. Yeah, part-time. And I worked full-time up until I had my daughter. And when I had my daughter is when I started my management company. Because I realized doing what I do as a vocalist is not going to make bills. It's not going to pay the bills. It's not going to feed my daughter. However, managing artists, running shows and shit is going to make me money. Mm-hmm. So you got to think about that too.
It's a good career path to take. It really is. What you do now really is a good career path. There is a lot of money.
To be made. There is. But there's a lot of
But there's also a lot of toxicity.
Oh, let me tell you.
There's so much. There really is.
We won't get into this. And no. I'm going to make an episode about all of this because I know people have wondered. But I mean, the death threats I've gotten about my daughter, myself, my wife, my mother. I mean, the shit that I've gotten. And I have screenshots. I got receipts for all of this shit that I will talk about in an episode eventually. So if people have a question about it or, oh, that's a boy, I can be like, no, it isn't. Here you go. I mean, we're talking phone calls, texts, messages on Messenger. I mean, posts on Instagram, memes made about me, things of that sort comes with that territory. Because when you get in and you start doing things the right way, people don't like that because they're doing things the wrong way and it's affecting how they do business. So it's making them look bad when you have someone like me who's paying their artists to play shows, who's, you know, progressing these artists, putting them on tours, making their graphic art, et cetera, et cetera. When you have another company out there claiming they can do the same and they can't, they just run your name in the mud, you know, and names don't need to be said. Everybody will know exactly what I'm talking about. So, you know, and I won't give them that satisfaction, but long story short, that's what happened to me and why I've been on such a long hiatus was the threats and everything just got to a point where I couldn't. So yeah, women and children can definitely complicate things. So right now, don't have any of those. Keep doing what you're doing, man.
Not planning on it anytime soon. Don't. I'm only 22, man.
So, okay. All right. So well, give me, and this is a super hard question, give me three of your top influence drummers.
Oh, God.
Just three.
Oh, you're a dick.
I know. Man. I'm a fucking dick.
Okay.
Number three.
No, my number three. Gosh. Oh, I hate you so much.
I mean, you could do five, I guess, if you wanted.
All right. That might be, that's definitely a little easier. Does that open these up? Are no in particular order.
Okay. All right.
But I'm going to have to go with the Rev from Avenged Sevenfold. May he rest in peace and come return us to death bat.
Shout out. Shout out, Rev.
Yeah. Shout out to the Rev. Shout out to Joey Jordison. I know I've mentioned him a couple times already.
Three more.
No, like I said, this is so difficult.
I know, it's a shitty question, dude. I hate asking it.
I wish I knew these names because of some of my favorite bands. Oh, we were just talking about them. As I Lay Dying.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Mancino.
Yeah, Mancino.
Jordan, I do believe.
Jordan, yes. Jordan from As I Lay Dying. And yes. I'm going to have to throw in a couple classic guys in there, too. Buddy Rich. And I Buddy know Rich. I'm going to get a lot of hate for this. And I mean a lot of hate. I'm already prepared for the comments. Ringo Starr.
Yeah, you get hate from me for that. Luke Holland, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. And Luke
Holland. I know he's newer. Right, so,
he's definitely newer.
So maybe I should ask you the question of what got you into it. What were your first influences? Now, what influences you now?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so what? All right. Yeah. So there were your five.
Those are like my overalls. Gotcha.
Okay.
What got me started.
Even though Mancino probably be in this discussion as well, right?
Right.
Okay, so give me your top five now. If there are five, maybe there's only three.
Oh, there's so many.
I can imagine. Luke Holland, obviously.
Luke Holland, drummer for Killswitch Engage. Of Mice and Men's drummer.
Yeah, I can't, for the love of God, I can't think of his name either. I know it. It's
oh gosh.
I know he's Latino. I can't think of his
name. Parkway Drive's drummer. And gosh, probably one of my favorite drummers right now.
Yeah. Who's your who are you looking at right now? Who's like your like, oh man, your drummer crush? Your man crush drummer crush. Yeah, who is that right now?
Oh gosh. I'm going to have to go with a drummer who's actually not in a band and hasn't been in many years. YouTube drummer, 6'6 Samus, Samus Pacelli. Huge shout out to Samus Pacelli.
I am not familiar.
He is. You got
to
check
him out. I am going to.
Back in the day, he was the drummer for, I want to say, kind of a deathcore thrash metal band called Desperate Birth. Phenomenal band. I haven't listened to them in years, but... drummer 66 Samus hailing from Winnipeg, Canada.
Canada. He's a Canadian,
yes,
eh?
Yes, he is. Probably one of my, probably he's like my top favorite drummer currently. He's my man crush.
I am not familiar. After we get off this show here in the next like 5-10 minutes, you're going to have to show me that one.
Yeah, he is definitely probably one of my biggest influence overall on everything. He's my man crush. He's got beautiful long hair that I absolutely adore.
Jesus. Yes.
Yes. He's the Jesus. He's like the Jesus of drumming, if I'm being honest. And the beard, everything.
I'm not familiar. So is Chris Turner an influence, or is he just someone you kind of look up to?
He's someone who I look up to. He's a little bit of an influence.
Because I know he's just all over the place.
Yeah, his playing style is...
I mean, he pulls out jazz brushes in the middle of a breakdown. Yeah, I mean, who does that?
His playing style is just all over the fucking
Shout out Ocean's Eight, Alaska.
Yeah.
P.S. If you need a vocalist that can do what you do in recording live on stage, hit me up. James Davis McAllister on Facebook. No shade shown to Shane Alaska's vocalist, but I'll just say he's dog shit live. I mean, I'm just going to be perfectly honest. You're dog shit live. Y'all need a vocalist that can do that shit. I'm not saying the falsettos will all be hit, but all those screams and all the other singing, I got you. Hit me up.
I got another band I got to add. Yes. Another drummer.
I'm sorry. That was mean to me, but it's just the truth.
Another drummer I got to add. Again, don't know his name. The drummer for Oceana.
Oh Jesus, I don't know. I played with them back before they had their singer now, their vocalist now. The fucking the big ass dude they have now. The big black dude. Yeah, I can't think of his name. Well, prior and not to be racial, but I guess you have to be these days. They had a white vocalist when they first started, and we played a basement show with them. And it was fucking scary. That was one of the scariest shows I ever played, man. I don't like those crowds like that, you know. But I do not know their drummer, but I could see that because they are phenomenal.
Yes, they are.
Like, they're one of the, I don't like bands like that typically, that grindcore, that. Their new vocalist is so goddamn. I'm like, dude, where does that come from? You know, and not just that, I like the music too.
Right.
They kind of are different. They have this modern breakdown style to them, yet they stay true to the death metal hardcore.
Right. And I'll be honest, I have to agree with James here on this one. There's tons of bands in that genre that honestly don't really get me, but it's the drumming that I'm into, because there's so many drummers on the deathcore, grindcore scene.
Let me suggest a band to you and my listeners, The Last 10 Seconds of Life, they are called. And dude, it's like Oceana, but it's a lot slower tempo. And I mean, it's
kind of like Sunno.
I'm not familiar.
They're an old doom metal band.
Yeah, no, this is like, I'll show you after we're done here. It's like, I can't explain it. The Last 10 Seconds of Life, just go look them up. They're very, it's not traditional. It's like your hardcore metal. I can't explain it. You got to go listen to it. But
you have to check them out.
Yeah, you have to check them out. But when you were saying, you know, mentioning the bands that it's hard to get into and stuff.
Right.
They are not. They're very different from that genre, though they're thrown into that genre.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a couple genres that I just really can't get into, but the drumming I can. Like with a lot of like the grind.
What is it that gets you into it? The blast beats?
It's the blast beats, yeah.
I mean, I know, you got a shirt.
Yeah, I do. I have a shirt. Sorry, Mom, but I have a t-shirt that says I fucking love blast beats that I actually purchased off of 66 Amos's Teespring to support him since he's one of my favorite drummers.
There you go.
I actually bought that t-shirt and I tried to hide it from my mom for a while until I started doing my own laundry.
Well, you hear that? I'm going to have to get the 666 Seamus.
It's two sixes.
Six. And his last name, or it's Seamus?
Seamus. It's
Seamus.
6 Samus.
All right, that's on YouTube.
That's his YouTube name, but his real full name is.
Well, hey, if you happen to for some reason listen to this, I'm gonna inbox you this interview. Get on the show, man. I'd love to have you. You know,
that'll be awesome.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't even know this guy, but I'm sure he's pretty popular.
He's definitely big time. He's I don't know that he's like the top YouTube drummer. But, you know, speaking of YouTube drummers, I'm going to go off here on a tangent for a second.
Do it.
I have another list of influences.
Let's do it.
There's a ton of strictly just YouTube drummers who I'm really into. I might get a tad bit of hate on this list, but oh well. Like I said, my top has got to be 66 Samus.
All right.
And I know this one might
go be ahead. Amazing, I already know what you're saying.
But Wyatt Staff.
You dude, listen, the dude's fucking talented.
Yes,
he's super very, goddamn talented.
He's very talented, and I'll be honest, I'm gonna go a little simpy here for a second. His girlfriend Lindsay, she's a gorgeous.
She is.
Woman.
She's beautiful. I mean, she's shout out to those guys. I've just heard. Listen, what I've heard about him is not good. However, what a lot of people have heard about me is not good.
Exactly.
So it's like, you know, I can't.
It
you
goes
know,
both ways.
Exactly. So right. The dude's a talented drummer. Yes, we'll leave it at talented. That. You know.
Another drummer who I absolutely adore because, I mean, he's a kid. Dex, little drummer Dex, I think is his YouTube name. He's a little foreign. I think he's Asian. I don't know for sure, but he's just this really young kid. I mean, I want to say he's growing up now. I want to say he's like 14, maybe 15 now. I don't know for sure, but I've been watching him ever since he started when he was like 2, 3, 4 years old. And he's playing everything from like improvising metal drums over pop songs to actually playing metal songs. He does everything, and he's such a talented kid, and I absolutely love watching his videos. He's definitely, even though he's so much younger than me, he's definitely a big inspiration on my drumming as well. So shout out to 66 Samus, Wyatt Staff, and like I said, I can't think of his exact YouTube channel name, but it's like Little Drummer Dex, something like that.
Well, you said Little Drummer reminded me of my, you know, drummer of Oceans. Yeah, Austin, Little Drummer Boy 11. He's got a lot
Who you also need to all go check out, too.
Yeah, he's got a lot of amazing drum covers on YouTube. The dude's phenomenal. I mean, to be honest, I mean, he's, and this is no knock at you, he's probably the most talented drummer I've ever worked with, in all honesty. Like, and you're not far from that, you know, and of course, he's a lot older than you. You gotta remember that, you know, there's growth Austin's to be made. Got, I hate comparing. And saying, you know, I just didn't want you to think.
Right.
You
know. I understand that.
You know, he's phenomenal. Again, shout out to Austin Mulaney. I love you, dude. Well, we're getting here to wrap this up here in the next, you know, like 4 minutes or so. With that said, what are your future plans, man? Where do you see yourself like in 5 years, man? I know that's a hard question again, but like, where do you want yourself in 5 years? Let's just put it that way. Where would you like to see musically?
Musically.
Yes.
I was going to say, what aspect of my life do you want
to know? Musically.
Musically, I want to see myself in either a big band or as a studio musician. One of those two are like my two biggest dreams.
Well, what about the band that you'll, you know, I'd rather die, you know, you never know, right?
I would love to see.
What would you rather have? All right, I'm going to interrupt, and I'm sorry, but fine. What would you rather have? Would you rather have yourself, you know, get noticed, go to a big band, or would you rather create and be in the original band and them get big?
I want to create. I want
that's to... the answer I wanted to hear.
But I definitely want to create. I like what I have with my buddy James here. I really appreciate that. I really like what we have, and I want to see him and I. And I'm going to give another shout out here to Devin Sears.
Yes.
The man who.
The myth, the legend.
The man, the myth, the legend, Devin fucking Sears.
Yeah.
Another incredible musician here from Alliance, Ohio.
Phenomenal. Top tier.
The three of us, we have big plans. I want to create with them and get big from there. Like James has mentioned before, he wants us to get out there. And be at a show and have someone approach me and be like, yo, yeah, we want him.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that. Again, not to interrupt. Once a fucking again. God damn it, James.
You talk too fucking much.
Stop it. Well, I want to interrupt you there because these points, I want people to hear this. My whole goal, and I mean this wholeheartedly, I'll turn 35 this year. One of my main goals and continuing to do this whole music thing, because I could have just threw it away and said, fuck it, after Zach and Andy had departed from I'd Rather Die this past weekend. I could have just been like, okay, fuck it, boom, gone. I don't give a fuck. However, in my mind, I said, listen, you know, this young man, you know, it looks up to you in a sense. And you've helped guide his career at the beginning. What I would love to see is for our band that we're creating, you know, recreating I'd Rather Die. I want to see that turn into him being noticed by other bands, bigger acts that need drummers, you know, and for him to, you know, spread his wings and go do his thing, you know. So with that said, man, I truly think everything that you want to see happen can happen. Mm-hmm. You just got to stay away from the drugs, you know, stay away from the alcohol, stay away from the women. You know, sex, drugs, and alcohol isn't said for nothing. It's said for a reason.
I mean, it's what comes with the whole rock and roll
stereotype. It does. Whether you want to admit it or not, anybody that's been on the road for a short period of time or even just played regular shows, you know what is there and what happens there. And I'm talking substantial shows. We're talking, you know, 50, 75, 100 plus people at least, you know, which aren't even that big of shows, but those are okay locally. But we're gonna take another ad break real quick and then we'll get back and we'll close it up. But you know, I want to shout out my boy Brandon Folsom in his studio, and we'll run his ad here. He's the one that made my intro. Instead, but shout out Brandon Folsom on Folsom Audio, best around. I mean, I'm honest to God, I'm not just saying that because he sponsors the show, but this dude is just next tier. So with
excellent vocalist too.
Shut up, man. The dude can do everything, man. He makes me fucking
vocals not wonder. The only thing I've heard from him.
Oh, so. God. Well, he wrote all so my far. Intro and everything. That's right, all him. So right. Anyways, here's the ad break from Folsom Audio, and we'll get right back to you with Mr. Gerber, a.k.a. Gerber Baby. Want to thank A Catholic Clothing for sponsoring this episode of From the Stash Podcast. If you're looking for the best urban streetwear in the world, not only designs, but quality, go to www.acathlico.com. Again, that's www.acathlaco.com. Or visit your local Zumiez retailer store and use code ACATHLASWAG, all capital letters, all one word, on the website for 10% off. You can now support the podcast via subscription for 99 cents a month, $4.99 a month, or $9.99 a month. Just click the support button and go from there. I appreciate each and every one of you that do, and those that already are subscribed, I love you. Big shout out to you. You keep this going. So please consider subscribing so I can keep doing this. Hey, and welcome back to From the Stash Podcast, and it's your
From
good old
Stash
podcast. Yeah, right. After that ad break, you know, that'll be the, you know, the intro you hear, you know. But welcome back. We're going to wrap this up, though. Go ahead. Any final thoughts? Anything you want to say? Any thing we didn't touch on quickly, you know? And, of course, we'll have you back. And, again, like I said, I'd love for you to come and, you know, kind of join the show. That'd be cool.
My final thoughts, I mean, I kind of did this throughout the video, but I just want to thank you again to all the people who've supported this path that I've taken with this music career. My parents who started the whole thing, my friends, my close family, James, Zach, and Andy from I'd Rather Die, former, I mean, all the people who've been pushing me to keep doing this. I don't know where I'd be without the support. I really don't. Devin, for one, bands I've been with in the past. If it wasn't for the motivation I've been given from all these people, I probably wouldn't be a drummer today. And that really means a lot to me from all of you. And for all of you listening, if there's something that you want to do in your life and you don't, and you can't find the motivation, you will find it. And it may be difficult at first, but
don't quit.
Don't quit. Yeah, exactly.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Find that passion, whatever it may be. It can be anything. Hell, it could be fucking sweeping carpets for the rest of your life. If you have a passion in something, do it.
Very true.
Don't let anything or anyone hold you back, regardless of what it is. Like James said, drugs or sex, rock and roll, whatever it can be. Don't let anything hold you back.
I think outside the box. Don't, listen to this traditional media and how people, I mean, look at these streamers making millions from playing video games and shit like that. You know, it just proves that anything's possible.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, don't let people hold you to those social norms of, oh, well, here, you got to do this to do this, and you got to do this to do this, and you're fine, baby. And you got to do this to do this, and you got to go to school and be this. I mean, fuck that shit. Do what you want to do with your life, and don't let anybody dictate that. I mean, am I right or am I wrong?
You're right, man. You really are. And I want to take a minute. I need to give another shout out to another important person in my life. James, your special lady, Amanda. She's she's in here right now giving me the finger like, hey, fuck you for mentioning me. But I'm going to do it anyway because it's true. I love her.
Hey, dude.
She's done a lot for me. She really has. She's been someone who I can go to for advice on not just life, but everything. I mean, I go to her for all my women problems. I really do. I mean, and she's great at it because she's grown up. She's been through everything. And I really appreciate her and the impact she's had on my life.
Dude, listen, this woman is my fucking... Listen, I'd be dead without her. So I love this woman with all my heart. She's the reason I'm able to do this. And yeah, I mean, huge shout out to the wifey, Amanda.
She's a great person. She really is. I'm glad I know her. Oh, and oh my goodness, I almost forgot about Chris and Brian.
Oh my God.
Brian and Chris, I'm so sorry.
Let's round out the show with Brian and Chris. Let's do it.
Yes. Brian and Chris.
Dude,
and
my son, Aiden. I can't begin to express my thanks towards them, both you and I.
Yeah, me
you know,
too.
They gave us their garage to, you know, practice in and, you know, fed us and took care of us you know, put up with our bullshit. And
they've become a part of my family. They really have.
Dude, they're the most, I couldn't be, they're my neighbors for people's information.
Right.
And my mother is going through cancer, blah, blah, blah. So we don't practice at my house. So we practice at the neighbors next door. And it's just, it was a blessing.
If it wasn't for them, I'd rather die would have never happened.
No, it wouldn't have. I don't know what we would have done. You know, and it's, you know, now I'd Rather Die was a cocoon, right? You know, and now it's going to, you know, for lack of a better metaphorical term, turn into a butterfly, you know, and they were able to do that, you know, and without them, you and I wouldn't be this close. We wouldn't be sitting here talking right now, honestly. Mm-hmm. So
they came to our shows. They supported us. They supported me a lot. Brian, I look up to him as, I mean, Dad, I love you. I really do. I look to Brian as like a second father. I love both of you so much. You two, my own father and Brian, are probably the two biggest influences on my whole life.
That's crazy you
and
say
it's
that.
Crazy. I've only known Brian for about half a year. Funny thing is, they're actually, my father's name is Brian, and Brian is Brian, of course.
Right. Too. Well, I think, too, not to extend this, they're polar opposites.
Exactly, yes.
And so you have, you know, the devil and the angel. Not to call either one the devil or the angel. I mean that in a metaphorical term. Proverbially, you know, you have one in your ear like, hey, dude, this isn't going to be your career. It's not going to work. But yet you have the other one like, dude, you are so talented. You can do this. And we won't say which is which, but the listeners will know. And I'm not talking shit on anybody, but, you know, and don't get me wrong, they both support. But at the end of the day, there's, you know.
There's mutual support.
Right. But there's, you know, questioning, of course, you know, from your own father. you know, or you're, and there's going to be, you know, he wants to see the best for you, you know, right, you know, I mean, look at him. He had a hell of a successful career, oh, yes, you know,
my dad, my dad is the most successful person in my entire life.
So right. So, you know, it's like, you know, of course he's going to expect higher of you, you know, he just wants the best for you. Exactly. You know, you're hanging out with some, you know, me, you know, former druggie, former fucking, you know, piece of shit, former addict, former, you know, whatever you want to call me. So for him to, you know, you got to understand where his weariness comes from. And again, this goes on to another tangent when the show is supposed to fucking end, which I won't go too much further because we'll have Brennan back. He ain't going nowhere. Any last words?
Thank you for listening. I'm glad I was able to be here with you, James. I'm glad we were able to do this. It was very nice to have this conversation. I
appreciate
that. I think that the listeners out there will take a lot in from this. And yeah. I think that, and again, I'm not saying this to boast, but I feel like for a lot of you out there, if you're lacking the motivation and you're looking for somewhere to put you in the right mindset, I think this podcast right here is definitely.
Well, and again, and if you, you know, you're a drummer out there or even a musician at all, and you need to talk to somebody or you need, you know, some advice or whatever, I mean, hit him up. Brennan Gerber, Brannyn Gerber, Gerber. Again, that's Brannyn Gerber, Gerber. Hit him up on Facebook and, you know, send him a message. Yeah, Hilton, he'd be glad to talk to you. I'm right now currently taking a social media hiatus. However, with this episode coming out, I'm going to have to come back to it. So, you know, just hit me up, but James Davis McAllister, but I ain't guaranteeing I'm going to get back to you. So don't take it personal. But with that said, man, it was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
I love you. You're like a brother to me. Very glad you're in my life. Not to get too mushy, but I'm glad you're in my life, dude. You've changed my life for the better. You got a lot of your dad in you. And with that said, man, I want to thank everybody. And don't forget, you know, I want to thank Folsom Audio. I want to thank Spotify. I want to thank McAlpine Meadery. I want to thank A Catholic Clothing. And I want to thank Chain Gang, Cody Manson, for sponsoring this episode of From the Stash Podcast. I'm going to try to get back to my regular uploads every week. I thank anybody who still listens for their patience and, you know, look forward to episodes coming out at a more regular rate. So don't forget, if you're listening to this on YouTube, and I hope that you are, click that subscribe button, hit that bell, hit that like button. It does a lot for the YouTube algorithm. Thanks again. I'm your host, James Davis McAllister, and this is From the Stash Podcast. I'm out like a boner in sweatpants.